views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio, Starcom Radio, CRN Digital Talk, and more. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and knowledge, because every week on the show, we have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. And remember, you can find out more at thelucidplanet.com and stream all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, etc. And you can, of course, connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for The Lucid Planet and Dr. Kelly. You can also visit the website to nominate yourself or someone else for the show and to become an advertising partner to our extensive audience across over 250 AM, FM, digital, and cable stations in 11 million homes in the U.S. Well, today we're going to explore a theme that we've been covering a lot on the show, especially over the last few weeks, which is really about the psychology of flow and altered states of consciousness. Now, as a psychologist, I've spent a lot of time studying and writing about flow, which is kind of like the space where time just disappears and you're just doing something you love, losing yourself in it, usually characterized by selflessness, timelessness, effortlessness, and richness. Now, there are a number of ways to get into this flow space: practice, meditation, binaural beats, psychedelic plants, fitness, nutrition, etc. And I'm really delighted today to welcome Aubrey Marcus to the show. And he's really an expert on how to maximize flow for peak performance. So a little bit about Aubrey. If you haven't heard of him or his company, Onnit Labs, which he founded in 2010 as a nutritional supplement brand based on a holistic health philosophy he has that he calls total human optimization. And he's since grown Onnit into an industry leader, providing innovative peak performance supplements, foods, fitness equipment, and apparel. Aubrey is a 20-year native of Austin, Texas. And in addition to the range of products that he offers at Onnit, he also owns Black Swan Yoga, which is the winner, a four-time winner of Best Yoga in Austin, and the Onnit Academy Gym, featuring DeFranco's Gym and 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu in the Onnit Academy. He also has two wonderful podcasts, which I'm sure you've probably heard, the Aubrey Marcus podcast and Total Human Optimization. And he regularly makes appearances on a variety of media outlets, including the Joe Rogan Experience, Jason Ellis Show, Dr. Oz, The Doctor's Entrepreneur, and now Lucid Planet. And he also launched an online course in 2016 called Go For Your Win. So basically, Aubrey's just been out there kind of crushing it. And today we're going to catch up and see what he's been up to and kind of find out how to get into the flow. So let's welcome Aubrey to the show. Hi, Aubrey.
Hi, how you doing? That was quite a thorough intro. I could have probably helped you cut out some of that to save our listeners some time, but I'm happy to be here.
I just wanted to give you, context.
I appreciate that.
For sure. So, you're such a healthy guy. Have you always been a healthy guy and had a healthy lifestyle, or is this something that you kind of developed over time?
A little bit of both. I think there were some core principles, from growing up. My stepmom was a holistic doctor, and so she would give me stacks of supplements before my game days. I played basketball, and a different stack of supplements before my test days. So I got used to taking, natural herbal supplements. And, my mom was a professional athlete, so she came from that background. So she was always cooking, food for me and my brothers and sisters. And, it was a lot of pretty healthy food. But then I look at the other side and just not knowing anything really about fast food. And it was just kind of part of the lifestyle when I was growing up. And, you know, the frozen dinners that were kind of coming out then. And I would think back to some of the things that I used to eat just with horror, you know, like the Tyson chicken nuggets. There were this weird shade of gray brown that I would just smother in ketchup and mustard. And then, you know, double Western bacon cheeseburgers, multiple, you know, Jack and all the different fast food places that I would eat, you know, pretty frequently along with the good stuff. So, you know, there was certainly, certainly a mix of both. And then, you know, as I grew up, you know, grew older, grew more experienced, learned to listen to my body a little bit better, started making more and more changes. And, you know, right now I certainly live the healthiest lifestyle I've ever lived.
Tell me a little bit briefly about kind of your daily routine. Curious.
Well, the daily routine, you know, it starts, starts from right when I wake up. And there's one thing, you know, right when you wake up, there's a couple things that you want to focus on. And the first one is you want to focus on getting your body some light. And so, you know, I either, if it's a sunny day, I'll go outside and, combine it with the second thing that you should do, which is some kind of light movement. And I have a trampoline, so I'll either jump on the trampoline or I'll do some light yoga. But light and movement are pretty crucial. And then also I drink what I call an alkaline cocktail, which is like usually Himalayan salt, apple cider vinegar, some minerals, and sometimes some lemon in there as well to help, you know, rehydrate me over the night. Cause it's probably first when you wake up, it's when you're some of the most dehydrated. It's good to remineralize. The apple cider vinegar helps to, you know, get your HCl, hydrochloric acid, which is going to help keep your stomach hot so you'll be able to digest and absorb the nutrients from the breakfast that's coming. So those three things kind of started off.
Yeah.
And that really sets it up. And if it's not sunny, I actually have these light earbuds that actually there's, you know, light photoreceptors in your ear canal. And so they look just like iPhone headphones. But they emit light, blue light spectrum. And I put those in my ears. So I get the light straight into my brain. Not really, but through the photoreceptors in my ears. And that really helps wake me up as well. I'll sometimes even do that, even if it is sunny, just because it's so effective, because it's like a 10-minute exposure. And by the time you're done with that, you just feel way more alert and way more awake.
That is an awesome way to start off. I have one of those sun lamps. I live in Colorado and it gets really cold and snowy. So I sit in front of one of these kind of like natural light lamps, but I haven't heard of the earbuds. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And then, man, I'm actually working on a book that's talking exactly about my full day's, you know, ideal routine that I try and get as close to as possible every day. So I could really go on this topic for a long time, but I'll hit a few key points. Another thing is,
get the book, guys, when it comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Cold exposure and breath. You know, I spent some time with Wim Hof.
Yes. Awesome. Sorry.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing individual, 26 world records, you know, rewriting the science books about what we're able to control in our mind between the parasympathetic and the autonomic nervous system. And, practicing the Wim Hof breath with cold exposure, even just in your shower, is another really great way to get things moving and flowing. And then, you know, throughout the day, try to work all the different hacks for flow and nutrition and productivity, and then connection with the people around me. You know, some kind of hopefully meditation or flow state practice, and then just, you know, wind it down the right way at night so I get, you know, as much sleep as I possibly can, and start to diminish the blue light, and, you know, kind of take things on this arc where you start ramping up really well at the beginning and then hit your peak and, you know, during the day, and then kind of ramp it down and have some fun at night.
I love that. I'm a night owl, so I have such a hard time kind of like getting relaxed. Like I kind of wake up after midnight and then I have to like very slowly kind of bring myself down, and like I take magnesium and some interesting supplements. And, well, I want to talk about the supplements. I want to talk about Onnit, which is really widely recognized in the wellness and fitness community. But for those people out there who haven't heard of the brand, tell me just really briefly a little bit about what inspired you to start this company.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I got used to the idea that these things that you ingest, your input, you know, equals your output. So, you know, when I would take these supplements before a game or before a test, I could really feel the difference. But, you know, to have something that affected my cognition, I needed 10 different pills that my stepmom would give me. And it'd take something for all the adaptogenic herbs and all the different things I wanted to take for basketball. Again, it was like six or seven different things that I was trying to take. And I knew that there could be a simpler, more effective way to combine these things that I knew worked. So we just, you know, hit the top athletes, the top doctors, the best research on PubMed, and figured out combinations that would make things really simple. So we created Alpha Brain for cognition, you know, a sport formula for sports. And, you know, then we took those and performed some double blind clinical trials, two different clinical trials on Alpha Brain, one upcoming through Florida State on the Shroomtech sport product, and another one on some of our other sports performance, and really put these formulas to the test. And, you know, everything from the customer feedback for the athletes who use it to the clinical trials shows, you know, really a lot of efficacy there. So it's something I'm very proud of.
That's awesome. And, you know, there's so much talk right now about supplements and a lot of like articles and quote unquote experts saying that supplements don't work and they're just as effective as the placebo. How do you feel about that?
Well, they end up testing them for, those are really kind of misleading studies, because there's one doctor in particular that loves putting these things out, and they'll talk about, the headline will be multivitamins don't work. Right? Yeah. And the interesting part of that is, you can't claim all multivitamins don't work because one multivitamin that you tested didn't work. First of all, yep. No matter what you're testing it for, right? So it's already misleading to overgeneralize. It's just logical fallacy. And then from there, you actually read further and you figure out what they're testing. And they're testing something like the ability to stop heart attacks after, right, for like super high risk people, you know? And then, so they're saying like, okay, I guess if you're taking a really multivitamin for, you know, to prevent a heart attack at a very high risk point in your life, maybe it doesn't work. But the specifics are never really, you know, shown in these different studies. So I think it's unfortunate that we're in a climate where those sensational headlines get credit. And when supplements do come up and show positive results, like some of the supplements through Onnit, you know, those don't grab the headlines. When you actually do show efficacy against placebo in double blind clinical trials, you know, Newsweek isn't picking up that story.
Right. They would rather just say, oh no, this is all crap and it doesn't work. But we know, and you know, just from the science and also from people's reactions, and anyone who's ever taken a supplement that's worked for them kind of can tell intuitively that it's working. You can actually feel the changes in your body. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Aubrey and I, we're going to talk more about flow and altered states of consciousness and get some of his insights on that. So stick with us and we will be right back.
You, yes, you, can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Frankel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty, because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit dragnesfrankel.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's danacanetto.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit orbitlawpllc.com for upcoming topics.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today, Aubrey Marcus, is here talking with us about flow and health and wellness and just generally staying hella woke. Before we continue, Aubrey, I just want to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you to find out more about Onnit, your online courses, the new Drink the Jungle thing you have, et cetera.
Yeah, you can generally find me at Aubrey Marcus on all the social channels. I'm really active on particularly Instagram and Facebook. So definitely check that out at Aubrey Marcus. And then my company at Onnit, O-N-N-I-T or Onnit.com. And then, we have a documentary about ayahuasca that I'm really proud of. Go to drinkthejungle.com and that'll lead you right to that. And we just completed the first round of my online course, Go for Your Win. You can check out some of the promo material for that at goforyourwin.com. And we'll be launching another course coming up here in the late spring, which was really great. It's an opportunity for me to share, you know, really a lot of the wisdom that I've accumulated over the years, both professionally, spiritually, and getting yourself aligned to your mission, you know, training the essential skills you need to accomplish that mission and overcoming the resistance that'll inevitably come. So really fun to be able to work with people hands-on in that capacity.
Awesome. What a great topic too. That's very similar to kind of what I'm always trying to tap into and help people with is we all have a mission, we all have a purpose, and we can find it usually by really honing in on our passions and what kind of gets us into flow. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, that's when things are going to be the easiest. You know, that's when it doesn't feel like heavy lifting. It feels like the wind's in your sails and you're just flying, you know, and that's one of the most enjoyable states you can be in. And I think, you know, people have this connotation that work has to be a grind. You're back on the grind. Well, you know, grinding has its place, but it's a lot easier when you're flying through flow and through passion and your inspiration and all these processes that'll start to take over when you're really aligned with something that speaks to your heart.
Absolutely. And how did you, I guess you seem to have a really clear picture of what that looks like. And you seem to have pretty easy access into kind of the flow state. Do you have any secrets that you can share with our listeners about kind of methods for getting into flow?
Yeah. I mean, I think my secret advantage is that I was so far it's stuck in my head that I had to figure a way out. You know, the resistance forced me to get good at it through a variety of ways, you know, because when you have that really overactive, overanalyzing mind, you know, it can be really difficult and challenging to get out of your head and get out of your own way. And so, you know, I pioneered as many ways as I could to figure that out.
Absolutely.
And the plants, you know, have been great allies in that. I've experienced a lot of psychedelic medicine that's helped me. And then they've kind of showed me the state that I was aiming for in certain ways. Sports have always, you know, been a great way to do that. But it's kind of like this quote from the great swordsman, Musashi, who said, "Know the way broadly and you'll see it in all things." And once you really understand flow, then you can really find it in a lot of ways. you know, anchor yourself to presence. You can find it, you know, find it in sex, find it in sports, find it in meditation, find it in, you know, ecstatic dance and breath work and all of these, in writing and working and all of these different ways. And I think, you know, really that's a lot of what Zen is talking about as well, is finding that flow state, that present moment, in a variety of different tasks and opportunities. But, and I think the key is to first taste it and touch it, you know, figure out what's going to trigger you into getting into that state, and then figure out how to replicate it and duplicate it. You know, the tools that are going to help you get there. Is it a sensory deprivation tank? Is it a psilocybin experience? Is it, you know, a meditation practice? Is it an activity that you love that you just lose yourself in? You know, what are the ways that you're going to find that can get you to that state of mindlessness that's so restorative to the body?
Totally. So restorative. I really appreciate what you said about the resistance. And it almost seems like just beyond the most extreme resistance is kind of the promised land. Mm-hmm. Right. And so,
well,
you know,
points the way, you know, the resistance points the way to where your growth can happen. You know, so when you realize that, then you can become grateful for that resistance. Like, oh, here's the roadmap. Like, where should I go now? I don't know. Where's your biggest resistance? You know, find that out, at least internally, you know, and figure out where your internal resistance is, where your fear points are, and then use that force of resistance as the grindstone to sharpen your sword. Use it as the way that you can become greater. And, you know, I think a lot of the peak performers, a lot of the, you know, the people who are achieving and living the lives they want to live, they've made that subtle switch, to say, instead of, oh, woe is me, everything's so hard, look at all these things stacked against me, they say, oh, okay, thanks, universe, this is the best gym I could ever imagine. This is the resistance training that I needed to bring out my best self.
I love that. And it does seem like the worst kind of thing that can befall you will become your salvation to a certain extent if you can overcome it. It can be hard, and I'm sure you agree, when people are suffering, it can be hard to support them in their suffering while also wanting them to be able to kind of overcome it and to see the blessing in the suffering. Have you had experiences with that?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think we all like to throw ourselves a good pity party, you know, that kind of form of self-indulgence is really appealing at that point. And there's a place for that. And I think, but there's also a place for the other side, a place where they're like, all right, now what are you going to do about this? You know, how can you use this to make yourself better and stronger? And as I've grown older, I've enjoyed these pity parties less and less, and try to, you know, have, because in hindsight, right, if you look back in hindsight, you usually are grateful for all of these different challenges that you had. But, you know, when it's actually happening, you don't have the gift of hindsight. So it seems, you know, really hard, and you suffer because of it. But if you can bring that hindsight into foresight and really see that, oh, I'm going to look back at this and be grateful for it. Well, if you can see that immediately when those challenges come, then those challenges, you know, the color of them changes, the hue changes. Instead of suffering, maybe it's painful, but it's not suffering. And you know that you're going to overcome, just like a hard workout in the gym, which I think is a great analogy.
It is a great analogy. And, you know, I've been through times where I've had like near death experience or surgery where I haven't been able to work out. And then once I can get back in the gym, everything does feel better. There is really a very important neurological and psychological component to fitness. And I'm sure that, I mean, you're kind of like a testament to that, right? But people definitely, you know, when we talk about total human optimization, there have to be all physical, psychological, spiritual, mental, emotional components all wrapped up into that. And so I imagine, is that what you mean by total human optimization?
Yeah. It's the idea that nothing occurs in a vacuum, you know, that the body can support the mind supports the body, the spirit supports both, the body supports the spirit. You know, it's everything is really connected. And if you try to isolate one thing and just work on that, not going to be nearly as effective as if you focus on all of the different elements. And so that's why we don't just have a supplement company. We make fitness products, we make functional foods, we put out information, we, you know, put out inspirational, motivational videos. We, you know, have personal care items, because what goes on your skin gets in your body, you know, and all of these things are important to to at least be aware of. And if you're really going to optimize yourself, you have to look at all different sides.
Absolutely. So I want to know, how important was it for you to have your experiences with psychedelic plant medicine? Do you think it's something everyone should try?
No, I don't. I think the people who are called to it should do it, but I'm not one of those. I've had immense benefits. Like, as far as the first part of your question, I wouldn't be close to the human being that I am without the plants. They've been my greatest mentors and my greatest teachers. They've, you know, put me there. Oftentimes it's a trial by fire. They've put me up against some of my greatest challenges, my greatest fears, which has allowed me to overcome them. And then they've shed so much wisdom and allowed me to access so many different perspectives. I'm forever indebted to the plant medicines. But are they for everybody? I don't believe they are. You know, they're for people who are called to them and people who, you know, feel that urge to explore that side of their psyche. And, you know, I don't think there's any hurry. You know, if you don't feel ready for psychedelics, then there's no hurry, because it is a trial by fire. And just like with any resistance training, you can't throw, you know, everybody into an advanced MMA class or an advanced weightlifting, powerlifting class. You know, the body will actually break if the resistance is too strong for what you're ready for. And, you know, sometimes the plants can be too strong. So it's better to start with a meditation practice or start with a sensory deprivation tank or ecstatic dance or breath work or Wim Hof method or some of these other kind of lighter things to prepare you for the heavier challenges should you desire them.
So many methods. How do you find time? How do you find the time?
Well, that's interesting, because I'm a quick learner in some ways, but I also, you know, in exploring all of the different methods, I'm perhaps leaving a little bit on the table by not taking one method as far as it could possibly go. You know, I have such an appetite for such a variety of things that, you know, maybe it would be better if I did less methods. You know, I just focused on one, really got the pearls at the very end of the line from just becoming a master at that one method. But for me, I like exploring all the different ones and dialing in different techniques depending on the specifics of my situation.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with both sides of that. You know, I have a doctoral degree in psychology. I had to specialize so fiercely. But you're kind of also missing all the other things that are going on. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, sorry, Aubrey and I will talk more about spirituality and flow and fun and kind of like where the future is heading for all of this crazy humanness. So stick with us and we'll be right back.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Hi, this is Carol Dorian, here to tell you about the new and improved Spiritual Diagnostics, coming to you every Tuesday at 2 p.m. starting April 25th. We will be having new amazing guests. We will have new spiritual topics for the new year. So look out for our new revamped show, Spiritual Diagnostics, Psychic Answers and Spiritual Solutions, April 25th at 2 o'clock.
brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I am here with Aubrey Marcus, who is sharing how he gets super lit with health and wellness and flow. And we've just been talking about all of these interesting methodologies for finding flow, Aubrey. And I'm wondering, well, you know, when we took a little break, we're talking about how do you find time for all of this? Do you also find time to have fun and do recreational cool stuff that also probably maximizes your flow, but isn't necessarily like intended just for that purpose?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons we're here. You know, if you spend this whole life just trying to optimize, what are you optimizing for? You know,
true that.
So I think for me, it's infusing fun through any process, you know, and I just met with one of my good friends, Daniele Bolelli, who's, you know, a brother in every sense of the word. And, you know, we were just talking about spiritual, you know, mentors. And I explained to him, like, if that spiritual mentor doesn't have a great and frequent laugh, if he can't laugh about every aspect of what he's teaching and what he's doing, I have absolutely no interest in learning anything from him, because they're missing the point in my perspective. Now, you have to be able to laugh. You have to be able to enjoy everything. There's nothing too sacred, you know, that you can't laugh at. Doesn't matter if it's an ayahuasca ceremony or whatever. I mean, not everything's going to be funny, but you know, it's not, I don't think there's ever a situation where laughter should be excluded. And I think in all levels, it should permeate what you do, a sense of joy, a sense of play, a sense that, you know, this is the greatest video game that we could ever have collectively created, you know, and we're playing it right now. But remember, it's a game, and games should be fun. You know,
and you got to know how whatever. The buttons work.
Exactly.
I took that from your Instagram. So, speaking of video game, well, since you brought it up, do you believe, what about this idea that we are in an actual simulation, possibly created by our future selves, and everything is a hologram? That kind of Elon Musk idea. Do you think that there's anything to that?
No, I think it's just a way for us to torture our own mind. I think it's true and not true at the same time. You know, it's like we're just playing with, you know, words and terminology and reality. Like, yeah, is this a simulation? Sure. Is it not a simulation? Sure. It just depends on what you believe and what you apply to it. So this idea of trying to find some ultimate truth about what it is, I think is just more of a Zen koan than, you know, something that can actually be solved.
Yeah. I mean, but that's, you know, that seems to be kind of the struggle of the human condition, is that we want answers to questions that we have no business getting the answer to.
Right.
And it kind of leads us on this crazy wild goose chase and go through these awakenings. And I just want to say, I love what you said about not taking yourself too seriously. And that is,
sure,
I totally agree 100%, but it can be like kind of a weird juxtaposition, right? Because it's like, on the one hand, you're trying to do all these things to make sure that you're in a great state and like be, there is a level of regimentation and discipline, right? That comes with like taking your supplements and working out and meditating and keeping yourself in that place. But then at the same time, you also kind of can't give a crap and just kind of laugh about it, right?
It's a combination of both. I mean, I think so many times we try to categorize one as one thing or another. You know, like you need discipline, or it's either discipline or fun. What about fun discipline? You know what I mean? What about enjoying?
Oh, yeah, that does sound like an oxymoron.
Yeah. So instead of thinking of things and putting them in these categories, you know, guilty, innocent, fun, you know, work, play, fun, discipline, let's just blend it all together and realize that all of the experiences are necessary and to enjoy all of them. Yeah. I think that's ultimately the way to go. And some are going to be more preferable than others. You know, some levels of the game are going to be a lot more fun. you know, like making love to your partner is going to be a lot more fun than digging a ditch, you know, most likely, you know, unless you really love digging ditches, but both are going to be necessary at certain points. So,
yeah. So, you know, we talked a lot about spirituality. You have a classical literature degree. You've kind of infused this kind of context throughout your company and your philosophy. Do you consider yourself spiritual? It sounds like you're pretty Buddhist, maybe.
You know, I wouldn't categorize myself. I think I abhor categories in general. You know, I feel like
spirit.
They're good for organization in your head, but they don't really apply to real life. You know, nothing.
I agree.
Really light or dark or spiritual or not spiritual. It's really all a blend, but I try to take the pearls of wisdom from every different philosophy that I can, from Buddhism, Taoism. I've really gotten a lot from the Toltec philosophy, Castaneda and Don Miguel Ruiz, with the recognition that Castaneda was truly a crazy individual. You know, but so was Nietzsche. And I got a lot from his writing too. And I think, you know, really learning that the person that you get the wisdom from doesn't have to be impeccable, because nobody's impeccable. So get the wisdom that you can, eat around the worm in the apple. You don't have to throw away the whole apple when you realize there's a worm in it, and just try to take the best sources from life. I've gotten a lot recently from a connection I had with a Christian mystic. His name's Ted Decker, and been conversing with him and reading his works and really understanding the deep core teachings of Jesus. And I've gotten a lot from Christianity too, which is a source that I never thought that I would get a lot of inspiration and wisdom from. So there's many, many places that you can find this if you just open your minds and hearts. And of course, probably the most important way has been the direct experiential experience that I've gotten from my own journeys, from breath and dance and the plants and all of the different practices that I've employed.
Absolutely. I'm thinking, you know, so you don't agree with the kind of, the guru, how do you feel about the guru philosophy? Because that's something in the self-help world. And of course you have one of the most popular self-help podcasts on iTunes. Do people kind of put you on a pedestal? Does it make you uncomfortable? Have you been in situations with other people who are kind of like treated as gurus, and how's that been feeling?
Well, I think it's just a matter of whether the person wants to be treated as a guru or not, and whether they expect that or demand it. I think whenever you see that, whenever you have to treat somebody special and it's like, you know, like they're not like a real person, that you can't just say, hey, what's up, man? Like whenever that happens, then there's a problem. But yeah, I consider certain people my mentors or gurus, you know, I think they've earned that, but they also don't demand that. You know, if you see them, you know, obviously you show them the respect that they deserve when they're in their process, is you would show anybody the respect, whether it was an athlete or anybody, if they're in their craft, you know, let them do their thing, you know, really respect what they're doing, but they don't demand that you treat them a certain way and hold them on some special sacred regard. And I think that's really the key to the whole thing is, you know, if you see someone who's taking themselves too seriously, they certainly shouldn't be your guru. But if you see that person just laughing and joking around with you, having a good time, you know, maybe that is a guru, you know, but they're never going to demand it.
I think about the Maharaji, right? You know, we've had a lot of people on the show talk about Ram Dass and Maharaji. And Maharaji was just like this old dude in a robe who just sat there and he laughed.
he just laughed and smiled and showed everybody unconditional love. And people would travel across the world to come and kiss his feet and sit at his feet because he just had this energy to him, but he didn't have anything, you know, but he just was a joker. And, there's really something to that. I think that's awesome. It's tough. You know, fame is, there's a real like kind of stigma attached to it. And there's a whole ugly, dark side to it. And I'm sure you can agree. There's people who have gotten really sucked into it, who maybe started out really awesome. And it can change you if you're not grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure. I think it applies pressure, and the pressure will expose the cracks, you know? So if you allow it to go to your ego, if it really kind of inflates that characteristic of your psyche, which is only a part of who you are, not the real you, but your identity, your attachment to your identity, all of these things, it can become a real problem. And if people have that proclivity, the fame will, you know, put enough pressure to create that. But I've also seen the other side. I've seen people who are incredibly wildly famous, superstar athletes, superstar, speakers, comedians, performers, all across the board, who are the opposite, who the pressure hasn't done that to, where the fame hasn't changed them in that way. It's actually just brought them to even deeper greatness. You know, that pressure has been something that forced them to work even harder, to master themselves even more, to be even more careful of what they say and how they treat people and what they do. So it's just pressure. It's just resistance. And it's your response to it that determines who you are.
Sounds again like what we were talking about earlier with this kind of underlying resilience that some people have in the face of adversity. And I guess maybe my brief question for you before we go on break is, what can people do to enhance their resilience to adversity?
Well, I think one thing is to, you know, again, start using hindsight and foresight. You know, look back at the things that you've gone through prior and recognize how many of those things you're grateful for. You know, like, yeah, you know, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have learned this, or that really shaped who I was. All of these almost tragic things at the time can become great blessings. And if you realize that, then you realize at the time that you're going through these challenges, that this is just another opportunity. So, you know, kind of taking that stoic mentality, like, you know, Ryan Holiday's book, The Obstacle is the Way, based on a lot of Marcus Aurelius's teachings, you know, just recognize in the moment that resistance is an ally, and, you know, use that ally to grow from. Don't run from it, you know, head straight towards it. And instead of cowering and saying, please no more, you know, look at it with that smile and say, you know, do your worst. Here I am. You know, let's go. Yeah.
I think that's a great take-home message. I think listeners, if you take anything home from this, it's Aubrey's message of, you know, just don't be afraid of pain and don't be afraid of that resistance. And I can totally agree. Everything that, like, you can literally manifest the things you don't want to happen just by thinking about them anyway. So you might as well just embrace whatever happens and love it and accept it. The more you fight, the worse it gets, but you can just get through it. On that note, we are going to take our last break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show with Aubrey Marcus. We're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, the humanness and the future. So stick with us and we'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions chance to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Every day is another opportunity to bring magic into our world and create the reality we want to live. Intuitive Juliana Salovia and the Lady of Light New Age Boutique are here to help you on your journey. Whether you're looking for a reading, a workshop, or a class of the latest and unique metaphysical products or jewelry, the Lady of Light New Age Boutique has it all. Visit inspirednewage.com to schedule a session or class and feel the energy of the Lady of Light. Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. We've been doing a very flow-oriented show here with Aubrey Marcus. And I wanted to talk a little bit for this last segment about kind of like the evolution of humans. And, you know, there's so many things that are kind of changing and becoming more effective, more efficient. We're getting back to our roots in a lot of ways. And one of the areas that I'm totally fascinated about, if you've heard previous shows or if you've gone to any of my workshops, is kind of love and sexuality and how we're kind of evolving and changing in the way that we relate to each other. And I know I've been in an open relationship for the last 4 years, been polyamorous for 2 of those years, done a bunch of workshops on it. I know I've seen Aubrey or heard Aubrey talking about being in an open relationship, and it seems like a kind of spiritual evolution, but also kind of a practical return to humanity's ancient roots before kind of agrarian societies. So that's my thoughts on it. Aubrey, I'd love to hear your thoughts about what it's like to be in an open relationship.
Yeah, I think there's a couple elements. I think, you know, for one, I was guided into it because, you know, in my philosophical and spiritual experiences, I started to really learn and understand directly from love and learn what love was and what love wasn't. And, you know, love is like the sun, you know, it shines effortlessly and infinitely on everything. And I think this idea that you need to possess another person, that, you know, you should only get pleasure from one person, that you should only get love from one person, that if you give Yes. love to one person, you'll have less for somebody else. You know, Yes. all of these ideas that are popular now are just wrong. They didn't sit right with me, you know, when I really understood what love was. I mean,
it's like scarcity programming or something.
Exactly. Like you don't ask a mother yeah. how it felt to love their second child, you know, how it felt to love their first child 50% less when they had their second child. You know, it's not like yeah. a pie where they divide it up and like, oh man, I could only love my first kid half as much because half my love was to the other one. Like it's, yep. it's crazy. Like we inherently understand that love is infinite, but applied in the romantic setting, we look at it with this really scarcity mindset. And, yes. You know, I think there are surely some evolutionary triggers for jealousy and wanting to, you know, capture some of the mating privileges and things like that. But those can also be transcended. There's also impulses for violence and impulses for these other things that, you know, should be worked on and should be controlled with a more conscious perspective. And I think in romantic relationships, that's absolutely in that category. So that was one element. And then the second element for me was, what greater force of resistance than trying an open relationship? I mean, that'll drag you through the all the layers of hell.
Oh my God, you're so right.
And ultimately, the reward for getting drugged through all those different levels and torturous, you know, times and pains and struggles and jealousies and all of these things is bliss, is the ability to
freedom.
Do something that your heart wants to do, be free and to love freely and to enjoy, you know, as many different experiences as your heart desires, truly. So
how long have you been in this for? How long have you been doing it for?
About 3 years.
Okay. Yeah. So kind of like me, I was married and then I was divorced and I had to experiment with bisexuality. And then it turns out I really like dating girls. And like, thankfully my partner now is really cool with it. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely not for the faint of heart. And one thing that I learned to build off of that, and I'm sure you agree, you know, we've been talking about time a lot on the show and how, you know, there's only so many hours in the day to do all the things that we want to do. And love is infinite, but time is not. Mm-hmm. And I had Janet Hardy on the show who wrote The Ethical Slut. And she said, a slut's best friend is her calendar because it's the only way that we can kind of make this work. And that's definitely been one of the struggles for me is finding the time. How have you been able to successfully kind of navigate that?
Well, I think it's not a matter of quantifying time by the seconds, but by the quality of the time that you spend. You know, yeah. I mean, I think you can spend 2 hours with somebody and it can be equivalent to 2 years spent mindlessly just going through the motions. You know, it's the amazing thing about time is, yes, the seconds are all going to be the same when measured in that manner. But when you measure actual presence, when you're truly, truly there and there's no resentment and it's just love and attention, you know, time seems to expand also nearly infinitely. It's kind of the metaphysical qualities of time. And I really, you know, I had a traditional relationship with my primary partner for the first 2.5 years. And, you know, I would say the time that we spent afterwards, you know, these, even though it's less now because we share it with other partners, you know, not an incredible amount of time, but it is, you know, less time because we do have other partners, then it's just such a higher quality of time that it far more makes up for the actual seconds lost because we're completely passionately into each other because we're completely free and we're able to be ourselves 100%. And so there's nothing there that's stopping this connection from really having the magic and the sparks that, that make it really valuable.
I agree completely with that. And, sometimes people get into it cause they've lost that magic and they're trying to get it back. Not realizing that, like, if you're not really that good with your partner to begin with, you probably don't want to go down this road because you have to have really, you know, very transparent communication and you have to be very present. And it can be kind of a minefield for a lot of people. But I rarely, but frequently, happily, when I do run across people who are in this lifestyle or who are able to do it, makes me very happy because there's so many alternative ways of living your life. And if you can get yourself out of that structure, like the monogamy relationship dating structure, you can pretty much liberate yourself from any other structure as well in this world that is telling you can only be a certain way.
No doubt. You know, it's a deep, deep challenge, you know, similar to the caveat I mentioned with psychedelics. You know, I wouldn't recommend open to everybody. You know, you have to be really looking forward to the challenges, looking forward to all of the compression you're going to feel on your ego, the feelings that are going to come up, and then use those to catapult yourself to a higher level of consciousness. Because if you don't have that attitude, you'll get crushed. It can be a very challenging process to reprogram all of this conditioning. But the rewards are immense, no doubt.
Well, and I feel like I didn't come here, you know, whatever my purpose might be, it's like, I want to do the best I can every day for myself, for my growth. Like, I don't want to just do what's easy and comfortable because I can, you know, because I'm afraid. Like, I want to always be pushing. And I do find that that's a common thread amongst a lot of people who are pursuing non-monogamy, is that they do generally want to push. And that's not the only area in life where we can push back. I mean, a lot of us have very non-traditional jobs or careers or, you know, body image or whatever. But this one in particular, it's just, I don't know, it's just gotten really interesting for me. So I appreciate
that. I agree. You know, I think that this is the future of where we're heading. I think as we start to understand, and, you know, I think we discarded a lot of metaphysical truth in favor of, you know, these scientific clinical investigations. And I think that was important because there was a lot of quackery and false mysticism and a lot of people taking advantage of people through, you know, illogical and untrue concepts. So science came in to rescue us from that. But in the process, I think we lost really deeper understandings of metaphysical truth, truths about love, truths about the self, consciousness. And I think as we bring those back into our lives, they're going to recalibrate a lot of the systems that have survived. And I think monogamy is one of those systems that clearly needs to be recalibrated. And I think it will. You know, it works for some people, but it shouldn't be the only option. You know, it should be this, every yes. option is equally accepted and appreciated. Nothing is deviant or weird or labeled in any category. It's all just, what do you want on the menu today? Okay, we'll dial this in. Monogamy, great. Polyamory, great. Whatever you feel like, you know, and all of it is supported and accepted. And I think that's the future we're heading towards.
I love that idea of the future. Love yourself and embrace your authentic self, no matter what. And strive for that. Aubrey Marcus, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
It's been lovely. I hope we get to chat again soon. And I'm sure, you know, I hope our listeners enjoyed that. And just remember, you can tune in every Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific, and get all of our shows on thelucidplanet.com. Next week, I'm welcoming writer-director Mitch Schultz to the show. He's going to be discussing futurism, mythology, and humans as we approach the singularity. So kind of taking off right from where we ended the show, which is really cool. And on that note, light and love, good vibes, and I will see you next week. Bye for now. Adios.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.